This is the Truth Hurts program with Steve Z. Hello and welcome once again to the Truth Hurts program with Steve Z, the program that tells it like it is, exposing the lies of the left, the deception of the Democrat Party, the double standard being applied for one president and against another president. There's an obvious fragility versus agility issue between Joe Biden and Donald Trump, the two projected candidates for this upcoming November election. The obvious agility versus fragility issue centers around the fact that there is no way that Joe Biden, in his advanced age, with his mental problems, with his lying, and with his inability to even walk up a set of steps without assistance and special shoes, would be matching up against Donald Trump, a guy who practically runs onto the stage, knows exactly where he is going, commands an audience, speaks clearly, concisely, succinctly, and intelligently about every subject in which he speaks. There's no way that Joe Biden could even come close to being able to go out on the campaign trail virtually every single day over the next 200 days due to his poor physical and mental condition primarily. So in order to level the playing field in the minds of the Democratic political party, they have concocted a plan to effectively sideline the former president to keep him off the campaign trail. To sick-minded Democrats who will obviously do anything, legal, illegal, or questionable, to cheat in yet another election, the only way for Biden to be able to keep up with Trump is to hobble and shackle and detain and bottle up Donald Trump in a baseless, endless series of court cases. Meanwhile, when they do manage to pump enough Adderall or adrenaline or whatever drugs they pump into Biden on the night of the State of the Union address to make him appear somewhat coherent, they are now sending Biden to places where he already enjoys solid blue state support. Places like liberal California, or right around the corner to Pennsylvania or his home state of Delaware, or to progressive enclaves like Portland, Seattle, or deep blue Detroit. Here's a clip from a recent NBC News show where they attempt to make Biden seem like he's actually energetic and capable, when he clearly is not. And I apologize, this came from MSNBC, which is still NBC, technically. They brag about how Biden will be appearing at a fundraising event or two with a bunch of clowns from Hollywood, or more funny-looking clowns from the Democratic political party.
The Biden campaign will host a major star-studded fundraiser in Los Angeles next month. The campaign is looking to boost fundraising efforts at a time when Donald Trump and the Republican National Committee attempt to close the contributions gap. A-list guests expected to attend the event include former President Barack Obama, George Clooney, Julia Roberts, and the two Academy Award winners will also be featured in a campaign social media contest and have their names on contribution emails. President Biden is also expected to hold a fundraiser with Bill and Hillary Clinton early this summer. A source familiar with the plans tells NBC News.
This poor woman reads about as poorly as Joe Biden, and they're just loving it. Julia Roberts and George Clooney? Oh boy, those people. The woman who played a prostitute and a rich guy who was socially feeble in that movie. What was it called? Pretty Skank? Pretty Prostitute? Pretty Slut? No, Pretty Woman. That's the name of that movie. Sorry, folks. I had a little brain fart because I'm not a person who follows Hollywood. So Joe Biden is having to rely on those types of people. Multi-millionaire actors and actresses who get paid to pretend to be people they are not for money. And, of course, the puppet master, Barack Hussein Obama, and the also-ran Hillary Clinton with her husband, the former president who stains little girls' blue dresses with his white stuff and likes to play with cigars in private places on interns, Bill Clinton. This is what Biden has to resort to try and use the social media to gain money so that the gaps between the Trump campaign, you know, money from regular supporting American citizens, has to compete with big, big money donors, billionaires, all seeking to get their little favoritism from a reelection from Joe Biden. Isn't that shameful, my friends? Let's buzz through the headlines, shall we? Following California's $20 minimum wage, other workers are now demanding a pay increase. I warned you all about this a long, long time ago. How can you raise the minimum wage for Whopper floppers and McDonald's floor moppers and not raise the minimum wage for other people who make less than $20 an hour? If I were anyone in any other industry in the state of California, I would get a class action lawsuit together and demand $20 an hour for myself and everyone else in that class, period. And then I would watch California's economy continue to implode upon itself as the wealthy leave the state, those who can afford to get the hell out do get the hell out, and leave the state penniless with a bunch of people who will become out of work because, let's face it, you don't need 1,500 restaurants in one city if there aren't 15,000 people left living there. California's minimum wage hike for fast food workers has sparked much controversy since it went into effect appropriately on April Fool's Day of this year. Now, workers left out of that sector-specific wage hike approved by the state are wondering what the hell happens to me. And workers being laid off by the thousands in the state in the fast food industry are saying, well, wait a minute, I thought I was getting a pay raise and now I'm getting an unemployment check. Fast food workers in California now earn $20 an hour, which is a 25% increase from the previous state minimum wage of $16 an hour. Now other workers are demanding wage increases because they are facing the same challenges in living costs and asking that the state minimum wage be raised to $20 for everyone. Prices in the Golden Shower State have risen over 20% since Joe Biden took office, according to the Office of California Legislative Analyst. The Bureau of Labor Statistics, a federal agency, has confirmed that prices in California have increased much more than in the rest of the country, and U.S. and Hawaii are expected to be experiencing even much higher inflation compared to the rest of the nation. Before the new minimum wage hike went into effect, California fast food restaurants increased prices by 7% on average. Despite the slowdown in inflation, they're claiming is the rate of inflation. Inflation itself is up over 20% since Joe Biden took office. Prices in California are still high and not going down anytime soon. This has sparked other union workers to now demand an increase in their wages. The president of One Fair Wage, Saru Jayaraman, told the LA Times that lawmakers must understand that if fast food workers deserve wage hikes, so does everyone else. One grocery store shelf stocker cashier told the outlet that his wages are not enough, especially for those trying to support families. What he didn't say was, damn, Joe Biden's inflation is screwing me. And now I'm being left out of this fast food worker wage hike. Hey, grocery store employee, why don't you do yourself a favor? Quit your job and go work as a Whopper flopper. You'll get a $4 an hour raise right off the bat. Workers were led to the state capitol asking for a statewide $20 minimum wage, saying that even that is not enough. After all, one of their own senators is demanding, or is it a representative? What is her name? Sheila Jackson Lee? No, that's the lady from Texas. Anyway, one of the African American congresswomen from California thinks that it ought to be $50 an hour. I can't keep going on with this story because it's just ridiculous on its face. Jesse Waters said on the Fox News channel, the most loyal Democrat consistency is now being hammered by Bidenomics. Team Biden is asking if you were better off now than you were just 4 years ago. And the fact is, nobody is. Unless, of course, you're a congressperson who has insider trading information where you can make yourself a millionaire in less than 7 months. I would like to read to you an actual quote from the Biden campaign where they're claiming that we're doing everything to educate black voters. As if black voters aren't educated? Sounds pretty racist to me, Biden. This quote says, we're investing seven figures in constituency media and black media to make sure that we're doing everything that we can to educate black voters on all the ways that the Biden-Harris administration has put them at the forefront. Boy, is that not an insult. You're meaning, you tell me they need a handout and now they need education? What, are you saying all the black people in America are ignorant, uneducated? Wow. Then Donald Trump made the mistake of saying, Trump never succeeded and I've never failed at creating new jobs. But the reality is, Biden has not created any new jobs. His economy simply inhaled and allowed 15 million workers who were lost during the Fauci flu pandemic to get back to work. A New York Post headline says, Biden tells a lie a minute during a CNN interview. In a brief 17-minute interview, Biden told 15 lies, nearly a lie per minute. Wow. But the media, the mainstream, progressive, liberal, woke, slimeball media refuses to report on Biden's lies. Meanwhile, Hillary Clinton thinks the reason why voters aren't totally on board with Biden is because Democrats are simply misunderstood.
The pressure and the stress on our system, our country, our Constitution, our future is so intense. For those of us who understand what's at stake, and I don't mean that in a, right. you know, a derogatory way to others, but if no. you've been in this world, as you and I have, and you've studied it and you've watched it, it is a very difficult time right now.
Oh, you darn deplorables, and all you dumb Democrats, is basically what she just said. You don't know. You're all basically ignorant, unless you here in Washington, D.C., with me and the Repotus, who all get together every morning and tells people how it's supposed to be. That's basically what Hillary Clinton just said. She just threw an insult to every single American who doesn't work in the Washington, D.C. cesspool. Does that not bother you that these people actually feel they are so far advanced, so much ahead of you in every aspect of life, that they can insult you right there in your own living room on your television set, and you just shake your head in agreement? Listen, my friends, there's an obvious agility versus fragility difference between agile Donald Trump and fragile, senile Joe Biden. I truly wonder how any American citizen, any potential voter, could possibly look at the failings of Joe Biden versus the successes of a highly embattled Donald Trump and not see the obvious difference in ability versus agility. Sure, Donald Trump is a cocky, brash, arrogant, egotistical, strong-willed prick of a person. And that's what a nation needs in its leaders. A person who can effectively make things happen. This is defined as ability and agility. Donald Trump has both. What we have right now in Joe Biden is a combination of fragility, being fragile and weak, and senility, mental faculties failing, mixed in with a compulsive, pathologically proven liar. That's Joe Biden. My question is this. Would you rather have a surgeon performing brain surgery on your 5-year-old child be a nice old man with shaky hands and forgetfulness who would lie to you when he makes mistakes in cutting open your kid's brain? Or would you rather have a surgeon with the most steady hands, actual experience in proper surgical technique, confidence, a man whose entire operation on your 5-year-old child is followed with complete scrutiny and transparency, not only by his friends, but by those who despise him for being a jerk? I know where I would want the surgeon to be: a confident, capable, able, a person who can remember how to do surgery. And if he's an asshat, then he's an asshat. But I would not want a shaky, weak, feeble-minded liar cutting open my child's brain and then making up excuses and lies and saying silly things like, well, when I was a janitor, a truck driver, Jewish, Spanish, it's just an obvious difference. And I cannot for the life of me see how anyone with a brain in America can possibly think of voting for Joe Biden. Wow, it's just insane. Hey, over in Texas right now, Greg Abbott, the Republican governor, is responding to a California police report by saying, "Welcome to Texas, y'all." Greg Abbott has responded to a report that says a growing number of police officers are leaving California and moving to Texas. An article from the DailyMail.com reported that officers are leaving California in droves, mainly due to the state's soft-on-crime policies, and they're leaving for jobs in Texas and other states that are tougher on crime. After all, if you're going to become a cop, you have a lifelong ambition to put the bad guys in prison. But in California, the liberal policies and the Democratic political party vilify and demonize and castigate and make cops out to be the bad guys. And they make excuses for the criminals. And they say, well, you have to understand, Tyrone's socioeconomic upbringing makes him have a higher proclivity to perform some petty minor acts. You know, like home invasion, carjacking, murder, robbery, rape. Nope. The Texas police system rewards good cops for doing the job. Abbott wrote on X, formerly Twitter, alongside of that article, quote, "Welcome to Texas. We support our law enforcement officers. We demand law and order. But never forget the leftist policies that you fled. And always vote the right way." Basically telling the cops, come here, do the job you always wanted to do, and we'll support you. But if you Californians come to Texas and start voting Democrats into office, you'll end up in the same hellhole of a job that you left in California. The DailyMail.com report quoted an officer, Evan Leona, who said he left his job as a detective in Fresno to work for the Denton Police Department in Texas, saying he has met, quote, more than 100 officers in the Dallas-Fort Worth area who have recently left California. I'm sorry, I had to cut the mic for a moment. I started chuckling when I read the next paragraph, and it says, Maria Haberfeld, a professor of police science at the John Jay College of Criminal Justice. Stop! I thought John Jay was a hair products school where you learn how to do haircuts and nails and makeup. The John Jay College of Criminal Justice? Okay, anyway, Maria Haberfeld, professor of political science at John Jay, I can't say it without laughing, John Jay College of Criminal Justice, says that despite a lack of empirical evidence, anecdotal reports about officers leaving California should not be dismissed. Wait a minute. A lack of empirical data? All you need to do is a little research, professor. Just go to Texas and ask the cops in Texas that have been hired in the last 3 years. Where'd you come from? Are you a Texas native? And you'll find out just how many have come from liberal, progressive, woke California. Haberfeld told Newsweek magazine, usually police officers tend to be harsher on crime than an average member of the public. Well, duh! Wouldn't you think a cop's job is to be harsher on criminals than the public? Otherwise, you have a vigilante society. This woman's a professor, my friends. She says, from my conversations with police officers from other states, it is quite clear that soft-on-crime attitude is demoralizing and contributes to low morale. You see, she didn't have to learn that or do that. She heard it from the real boys in blue, the people on the force, the people enforcing crime. Haberfeld said scholars of policing note that police officers are motivated by victims of crime, seeing the perpetrators on the streets, sometimes a few hours after the crimes are committed, definitely contributes to cynicism and possibly the desire to leave the force, as at least in their eyes, justice has not been done. And since in California, justice never seems to be done, unless you're Donald Trump, and then they make up a bunch of charges against you, people are sick of it. And the cops are saying goodbye. Police departments across the U.S. saw a historic exodus of cops in the wake of the 2020 George Floyd drug overdose heart attack death that was manufactured to be somehow a murder on the part of a police officer. In a recent survey by the Police Executive Research Forum, a nonprofit think tank, it showed that while police departments are turning a corner, many still face challenges in staffing. To all of you cops who have just recently moved to Texas from California, congratulations. You get to do your job. This weekend, Donald Trump had an impromptu, pretty much last-minute rally in New Jersey. CNN did not even bother to mention it on their website. Kessler Highlands wrote on the Nextdoor Neighbor app, Trump has 80,000 people at a rally in Jersey tonight. CNN website doesn't even mention it. Nothing to see here, folks. Move along. Another person posted, just an interesting topic. I guess it's tough. Reality. Why is this posted on our site? Where are the moderators? How do you know it's 80,000? Did you count them? Yes, immediately upon posting this, the app was taken over by a bunch of libs who didn't like the truth being told. Meanwhile, anti-Israel agitators blocked traffic near Disney World in Orlando, Florida, and one guy took matters into his own hands, going around the protesters on the shoulder. When one protester tried to jump out in front of him, he blew the horn and kept going. The protester moved out of the way smartly. What a bunch of idiots. What are people protesting in Orlando, Florida? The lies that are being espoused on CNN, NBC, ABC, CBS, MSNBC, HLN, that somehow all of these people are being senselessly murdered in Gaza? No, my Truth Hurts program listeners, the Israel Defense Forces are simply retaliating for the vicious attack upon women, children, elderly, and infirm in Israel by the Hamas terrorists who dare to use women and children as human shields. Hamas needs to be wiped out completely from the face of the earth. That's my opinion, and the opinion of many around the world. Switching topics, the Dallas Morning News' Nick Wooten writes, "Everybody's hurting. Low-income Dallasites," I guess that's what people in Dallas call themselves, Dallasites, "struggle with taxes as property values soar." It kept Juanita Velasquez up at night. Her home, not far from the western fork of the Trinity River, had been in her family since the 1940s. It was her grandfather's, then it was her mother's, and then it's hers. In other words, she's never paid for it. The 67-year-old Juanita Velasquez spent all but 2 years of her life in that home in Dallas's Ledbetter neighborhood. She's wondering how much longer her stay could last. As she approaches retirement, like many others in Dallas County, her property taxes have skyrocketed, and they're trying to blame it in Dallas on the COVID-19 pandemic. Total market value of her West Dallas home has jumped 135% in 4 years. You know, since Biden took office. Her property taxes ballooned from $1,850 back in 2019 to over $3,400 in 2023. She's wondering what this year will bring. She knows she needs to get things fixed and do so in a quick, fast, in a hurry fashion.
"There is no way I'm going to be able to pay $4,000 in property taxes when my income is only $1,400 a month."
Juanita Vasquez is not the only one claiming to be struggling. As property values surge, lower-income Dallas residents, developing parts of town, are left with property tax bills they can barely afford. Ms. Vasquez, might be time to sell your house. After all, the property value's gone up that far. Maybe it's time for you to sell, take the money, and move somewhere cheaper. If you owned a $400,000 home in the Dallas city limits in 2020, and you claimed a homestead exemption, you would pay $8,900 a year in taxes. Texas has a 10% cap on appraisal increases for residential properties who have a homestead exemption. This affects the property bill on that house over the next several years. By 2022, you'd pay $9,800 in taxes as the home's value increased. But guess what? In 2023, that amount fell to $9,300. Preliminary estimates from the Dallas Central Appraisal District show that market values for residential properties increased by 15% in 2024. That should make you happy. My home is worth more now. Yay! When it comes time to sell it, I'm going to get more money. But that's not how people see it. They only want to look at things in the negative. Okay, Axios, Hans Nichols writes, "Biden's polling denial. Why Biden believes he's not behind." President Biden doesn't believe his bad poll numbers, and neither do some of his closest advisors, according to people familiar with the matter. The dismissiveness of the poor polling is sincere, not public spin, according to Democrats who spoke privately with the president and his team. The bedrock belief has informed Biden's largely steady-as-she-goes campaign from the basement, even as many Democrats outside the White House are agitating for the campaign to change direction, given that Biden is polling well behind where he was 4 years ago. The public polling simply doesn't reflect the president's support, Biden is saying. In public and in private, Biden has been telling anyone who will listen that he's actually gaining ground and is probably up on Donald Trump in their rematch from 2020. Biden told donors in Medina, Washington on Saturday who were stupid enough to believe his lies, quote, "While the press doesn't write about it, the momentum is clearly in our favor with the polls moving toward us and away from Trump." Really? I haven't seen a single poll that's gone in that direction, Joe Biden. A few days earlier, confronted with his bad poll numbers in a rare interview with CNN, Biden offered a more sweeping indictment of polling methodology. He basically said, anyone who takes a poll is an idiot. The polling data's been wrong all along. You guys do a poll of CNN, how many folks do you have to call to get one response? The latest polling in the six battleground states likely to decide the presidential race, you know, Arizona, Georgia, Michigan, Nevada, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin, do not paint a rosy picture for the current president. A New York Times Siena survey, you know, a very highly progressive liberal news outlet, says they sampled more than 4,000 people across those six swing states, and they had Donald Trump winning five of the six amongst registered voters. Similarly, a Bloomberg News poll last month found that Biden was trailing Trump in six out of seven key swing states, because they added North Carolina, supposedly, as a swing state. The reality check is this. Some national polls have shown Biden either ahead or tied with Trump, and in several other polls, the president is within the survey's margin of error. That's given Democrats and Republicans alike ammunition to claim that they have momentum. It is just simply silly. And in one of Biden's latest public lies, in Medina on Saturday, he said, quote,
we run strongest among likely voters of polling data. And while national polls basically have us among registered voters up by four, among likely voters we're up by even more. In a national 23 national polls, the last 23 national polls, I've been ahead in 10 of them. Trump has been ahead in eight, and we've been tied in five.
He said that at a campaign event in Tampa, Florida, citing very highly biased surveys. Biden and his advisors have long felt underrated by the D.C. establishment and public polls in general. They're comforted by his come from behind 2020 victory. Voters, when it matters, appreciate Scranton Joe, they say. One spokesperson, Kevin Munoz, said, this election will be close, like all presidential races are. What matters is which candidate is popular and has a winning agenda, and which candidate and their campaign are putting in the work to reach the voters who will decide the election. That candidate is Joe Biden. But I want all of you Truth Hurts program listeners to understand this. Do not be lulled into a false sense that Donald Trump is going to win by a landslide. You must continue the push. You must continue to inform and educate the ignorant around you about what Donald Trump did in his 4 years to make America great again versus what senile, fragile Joe Biden is doing and has done for the last 3.25 years to destroy America from within. All right, gang, we've run out of time for this edition of the Truth Hurts program. Go out there and have a terrific Tuesday, and we'll see you next time.
Electric vehicle buyers, do you miss the sound of a growling exhaust from your gasoline or diesel car, and you've been putting off buying an electric vehicle because they're just too damned quiet? The all-new Shandu Kamala Coupe is just what you've been waiting for. With an artificial intelligence-based computerized external speaker system, the Kamala Coupe can be programmed so that when you step on the accelerator pedal, the Shandu Kamala Coupe can make fake exhaust noises. Just like Kamala Harris's entire career and her intelligence being artificial, the new Kamala Coupe can be programmed to make noises from the fake exhaust pipe, just like Vice President Kamala Harris makes strange noises from her mouth. When you step on the accelerator in your new Kamala Coupe today, you'll hear exhaust noises like... And if you don't like the whining sound of the Kamala cackle, you can program the Kamala Coupe to make other Democrat sounds, like Joe Biden stuttering.
That turned blonde.
See and hear the all-new Shandu Kamala Coupe at your nearby Shandu dealers. The range is no better than before, but every penny you spend goes to the Hunter Biden Defense Fund and the wonderful Biden family friends in the Ukraine.
We can't rebuild our economy.
Thank you for listening to the Truth Hurts program. Opinions expressed are protected free speech under the First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. We apologize if you are offended, but we retract nothing. Background music by Jason Shaw and Audionautix. Copyright 2024, the Truth Hurts Program Network, all rights reserved.